Welcome to the Vince Del Monte Podcast Show, where each week we bring you the raw and real experiences, lessons, and timeless principles every man needs to master the 5 M's of manhood. By sharing conversations with the world's most successful people pursuing the 5 M's, you'll build muscle faster, achieve a winner's mindset, increase your money, dominate your mission, and go the distance with your marriage. My name is Vince Del Monte, entrepreneur, author, pro fitness model, and father. And I've helped tens of thousands of men transform their bodies and lives through muscle, entrepreneurship, and personal development. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Now let's begin.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Vince Del Monte Podcast. Super exciting to have a brand new guest here today, Dr. Doc Jacques. And we are going to be diving into his expertise around naturopathic health medicine. He's worked with over 5,000 patients worldwide. And he consults with a lot of everyday people, athletes, executives, and he's an expert at helping you optimize your health from the inside out. And you guys all know that I've been on a journey over the last 2 years, optimizing my own health as a business owner, as a father, and somebody who is very busy and who used to just live, breathe workouts and eating at his convenience every 3 hours a day. And as the world gets faster and as our lives get more stressful, sometimes what used to be easy for us can become a challenge, and we have to really start working smarter and not just harder. I'm super excited. Dr. Jacques, great to have you today. You ready to do this?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm pumped.
Let's hear your story. Take us back. I know you've got a bodybuilding history and athletic background, but I'd love to just hear your story and what kind of brought you into your line of work. And start off with who you are, where you're from, what you do, and then share your story leading up till now.
Yeah, my name's Jacques Moser. So I'm born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I always wanted to do something athletic growing up. I loved working out. My dad told me when I was like a sophomore year in high school that I need to pick a job. And he was like, you got to figure it out. He was like, you got really steady hands. Maybe we should go into surgery. I'm like, I don't do blood. I pass out. So that was a hard no for me there. And the guy that I actually owned the gym that I went to was a bodybuilder, gym owner, and chiropractor. I'm like, oh, awesome. So I was like, I don't know. That guy seems real happy. So I want to do that. I'm going to use my hands. I'm going to go into that realm. Went through my undergraduate, went to chiropractic school, and came out full-blown chiropractor. And so started the beginning phase of my career, just adjusting and just speaking a little bit on nutrition and stuff. And in the process, while I was in chiropractic school, I did a bodybuilding competition. And then when I moved to Texas to work, I did a couple more bodybuilding men's physique competitions. And so I dabbled in all of that. And in the process, I lost my health. I lost it. So my wife and I, we still talk about it to this date, where I think it was the Phil Heath Classic that I was going to go line up to basically be let in. And I had my trunks on, ready to go. I was excited. And I had what I call gut rot. Felt like my insides were just going to come outside. And I'm like, oof. So I had to run to the restroom real quick and go to the bathroom. I almost lost it. So went in there, went on stage, competed. And afterwards, I was like, okay, I don't ever want to have that happen again. So I need to run some tests. And up to that point, my whole life has been chiropractic, bodybuilding, dieting, and I didn't really know much about like the naturopathic realm, traditional Chinese medicine, functional medicine. I didn't know any of that. So I started diving in, ran some tests, ran some food sensitivity testing on myself, ran a stool test to analyze my gut and my hormones. And man, I found out, and I don't even think I told you this, Vince, is my testosterone was at 97, like my serum testosterone was at 97. And I'm like, all right. And for those of you who don't know, 97 would be like high for a woman. For man, you want to have anywhere from 348 to like 1148 to be your normal levels. And I like seeing people around like 700-800, they just function better. So I was like, what in the world is going on? So I started diving more and more into this realm. And it just became this overall passion for me. From now I'm working with like infertility with patients, I helped to get my wife pregnant. We have 2 kids. And I told you when we had our first call that my goal as becoming a dad was to never allow myself to get a dad bod. So I've been building everything from that. So I'm no longer doing like the chiropractic side of things. I'm doing more of the naturopathic, the functional medicine, traditional Chinese medicine. And I've been loving it ever since.
Huh, that's awesome. And we're going to dig into, I love to dive into testosterone optimization, I'd love to hear just maybe some of the things that you discovered after you did some of those tests after your show. I had the same thing after I competed. My testosterone levels were in the toilet. Mm-hmm. And people, a lot of people just said, "Ah, it's normal." I just didn't know. Was there anything I could have done differently? I was hanging out with a lot of guys that literally didn't even eat red meat. And they, one guy freaked out when he saw red meat in my grocery cart, like a few weeks out from a same show we were doing together. And he's this living off of chicken and white rice or white fish. And what were some of the things you discovered that were maybe surprising?
Yeah. I work with a lot of competitors as well. And I'll use my wife as like a prime example too. So when we ran like the foods tests on ourselves, that when you eat the same thing, when we call it just the bodybuilder diet, we eat the same thing every day. It's just easier to meal prep. You have a tendency, if you have low stomach acid concentration, and I'll try to speak slowly on it. If you have low stomach acid concentration, you're going to have a harder time breaking down your food. So bodybuilder diet, we're trying to get as much, usually trying to get as much protein in, but you're trying to overfeed yourself. You're putting stress on the body. That chronic stress is going to deplete your stomach acid. Hmm. When you have that undigested food that passes into the intestinal lining, it causes inflammation, irritation, and then you develop an immune reaction to the foods that you're eating. So it could be to broccoli. It could be to, I have rice, like rice was one of my big ones. And so I would bloat coming into the show. And my wife, we were trying to eat almonds before one of the shows just to get our healthy fats up. And she just ballooned up in her abdomen. She's like, "What in the heck is going on? I dieted for this long. I'm about to step on stage and I can barely pull my stomach in." And it was because we had gut inflammation due to something as simple as food sensitivities. Hmm. When you're competing, the amount of stress that you put on your body, both physically and then mentally, where you have, I had body dysmorphia where I always thought that my body, and you probably had it too. I think we all did at some point, where we hate the way we look. We always want to look better. So that mental stress taps in and it pulls us down. And what will happen is we'll actually start doing either a pregnenolone, or they call it a cortisol steal. You'll steal all of your hormones and you actually create cortisol or stress. And so then your testosterone will also deplete. And then if you're constantly stressed, you'll start breaking down your intestinal tract lining, and that starts releasing glutamine and things like that so that your body can try to repair damaged tissues. So you're inflamed, you're overworking, you're overstressed, you're overconsuming foods you're not digesting. And it's just this perfect storm of dysfunction, which is why a lot of people don't last long in the industry when they're trying to compete.
Yeah. What are some signs that you might need to start looking into what you do and getting some testing done? The bloating is a big one. What other things that might be, if you heard some of these symptoms, you might say, "Hey, that might be this."
So bloating is definitely a big one. It's not normal to bloat, especially after you eat. If you're never hungry, like ever, that's usually a sign that we have low stomach acid concentration. So that would be another sign.
Never hungry. That's interesting.
Yeah. So a lot of people can say, "Oh, I can fast for days." I'm like, that's impressive. Good for you. But why are you able to do that? Is it because you trained your body, or is it because your stomach is talking to your brain saying, "Please, Vince, don't put any food in here. I can't break it down. It's just going to hurt us. Please don't do it." And some people will avoid eating because they'll bloat right after they eat, or you'll have acid reflux, indigestion. You'll have undigested food passing through your stool. And something that I didn't think was unusual to hear, but like your normal bowel movements that you're supposed to have each day is anywhere from 2 to 4 bowel movements a day. Mm. So there's people who aren't going, there's people who aren't even going to the bathroom once a day. And then I tell them 2 to 4, and then I get 2 to 4 maybe in a week. So those are some of the big things that I would say, hey, we might want to dive in a little bit more if you're seeing some of those symptoms pop up.
That's fascinating. Without broad stroke, but maybe some general best practices, what are some things that would minimize the damage, if you will, leading up to a show when you're trying to get lean, maybe coming out of a show, trying to rebound properly, recover properly? What are some foods, some things that you need to start, considering?
So foods to consider dieting down and then reverse dieting after?
Yeah. Yeah. Or just best practices in general for managing these challenges.
I think, and I've been out of it for a while, but I think that a longer dieting time would be better. So that way you're slowly going into it. You're not doing like a crash 12-week diet going into a show, because then you're not stacking on, because I was doing like 4 hours of cardio a day plus 1 hour in the gym. It just becomes overwhelming.
Huh.
If you're going to be doing that though, we have to have, so that's stressful. That's going to raise your cortisol. We need to find things that are going to help to lower the cortisol. If you're meditating, if you have some prayer time, reading books, or just trying to shut your mind down and calm down as best possible, that's going to be big going into a show. And then honestly, I would probably say the biggest thing, sleep, making sure you're getting adequate sleep, making sure you're taking, you know, the vitamins and stuff that you need to get in. Because if we're more stressed out, we tend to burn through magnesium quicker. The adrenals start to, you know, suffer. If we don't have magnesium, then we're going to have a harder time with our testosterone production as well. So sleep would be a big thing leading into the show. Post show, make sure that you're getting in proper food, going after like the prebiotic foods, the healthy fibers, making sure your bowel movements are moving as you're increasing the amount of food that you're putting into your body as well.
Well, that's interesting. And like today, walk us through, I like maybe jump ahead a bit. What are some of your staples when it comes to the average male that wants to achieve more than the average guy, who wants to maximize muscle mass, wants to stay lean or get leaner, and wants optimal energy levels, busy dads or men in general. Let's talk to that audience who need that energy at the tail end of the day when their day wraps up, but the kids' day is just winding up when dad's finishing work.
Yeah. Yeah. So listening to your body is going to be big. And so I'll talk about three different phases of adrenal exhaustion. If you're finding yourself going to the gym and you work out and you get this cortisol spike, you feel great. And then an hour or so afterwards, you crash and you just want to take a nap. You're going to be pushing your adrenals too hard. So your workouts in the gym, you want to do something that's a little bit less impactful in terms of, don't do high intensity burst training or something like a CrossFit workout if your adrenals can't keep up. Otherwise, you're going to create peripheral cortisol and you'll actually hold fat onto your body. Also, your diet. Busy dads, we tend to just grab food if we can find it. We can snack on carbs, et cetera. So meal prepping, what you want to eat throughout the day is going to be really big. Because if we're stressed and we have to worry about what the kids are doing, we need to be able to have something that we can grab quickly to get some good caloric food in us to be able to prolong our energy. The 2 o'clock slump or whatever is usually going to be due to what you ate for lunch as well. So making sure you're having something healthy for lunch, healthy protein source, good vegetables, et cetera, in there as well. And then if you need a little extra boost, a little tip, as long as you don't have any blood pressure issues, licorice root extract can give you a little bit of an extra pep in your step to get you to prolong. So you usually get about 4 hours of pretty solid energy from use a liquid. So I'll use like 10 to 15 drops, and that'll help to give you some energy without causing your adrenals to give up on you. In terms of what's that?
So you take that in supplemental form, like end of the day, maybe 3 or 4 when you need a boost in the tail end of the day.
Yeah. So everyone responds a little bit differently to how much licorice root you need. If your adrenals, if you feel like you're just tapped out and it's not necessarily diet related, you can start at 5 drops of this stuff. You can go up to 10. I've had people take 15 or so, but you just don't want to take it too far after lunch. Otherwise it's going to throw off your cortisol rhythms and you're not going to be able to sleep, and then you'll be tired the next day. Yeah.
How about weekends, socialization? What are some of your best tips? I was in Tennessee that last week and we're going down to the honky tonk every night and you're meeting friends you haven't seen in a while. Now, I know it's really crucial to have goals and be motivated towards targets and being held accountable. And just maybe some practical tips with guys that are in restaurants regularly. I try and build these things into my day, into my week, as opposed to trying to avoid them completely. It's never worked well for me. But what have you found to be like some good practices for men that they want to have a great body, but they also want to have a good life? Incorporating some of the finer things in life into the program. What are some of your guidelines?
Yeah. So it's actually a really good segue into testosterone and estrogen balancing. So what I usually tell people to do, because I work with a lot of people who they'll have like wedding season, they'll have 10 weddings that they have to go to. And they're like, how the heck do I survive this strict diet and I have to go to these weddings. So what I usually will tell people to do is eat before you go. Try to fill yourself up with healthy, dense food, good, solid proteins before you go. So that way, when you do go out with the guys or a group of people, you're not going to eat a fried, like something horrible. You're not starving. Yeah. Your primal brain's not saying just eat all of the food. So it puts you back into the driver's seat. The other thing that's big is if you're going to be drinking alcohol will actually convert your testosterone into your estrogen. So you actually poke a hole in your testosterone tank, create estrogen through alcohol consumption. Mm. So if you're doing that, your body it's able to adapt. But what I would say is either that day or the next week, make sure you're getting a really good increase in your fiber, because that fiber increase will help you to bind up those excess estrogens that you just threw down your pathways to get out of the body. So that's like a little fun fact, little hack that you can use to try to eat healthy whole foods, but still have fun.
Jacques, what are some good fiber foods for those who are not as versed?
Yeah. So you can have all kinds of different things. They have fiber supplements if you just want like an all-in-one type thing, but you can do like green bananas actually have really high resistant strain starches in them. Your fruits, your veggies, your starchy veggies, those things are going to be the easiest to be able to help you to bind out the estrogens and get rid of them, but without getting too technical with like larch and, you know, all that.
Huh. And you mentioned something that I keep thinking about, your body telling you not to eat because stomach acid is low. I think I've experienced that. I've gone extended periods of time without eating food and thinking that I'm like optimized. I'm not sure how I've interpreted it, but that's definitely, I'm thinking of it differently. One thing that I know when I look my best, I was eating a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm on a fat loss program now. My challenge is just getting all five meals in. And I just realized like I'm not eating. Yeah, I'm not losing weight. And I'm working with Big Ben Pekulski again.
I love it.
And you know, one of the things he just told me is you got to get back to eating real man food and operating at a higher level of calories so you can train hard and burn it off. Coincidentally, that's when I look my best. Mm-hmm. That's when I feel my best. So maybe help people understand maybe how that all works. Cause I think that kind of almost gave me like an ambition also to how cool is it to be able to eat a high amount of calories that still stay lean because that's what your body needs because you've built so much more muscle mass. What do you think of all that?
I think it's perfect. When you're in a situation where you were and you weren't eating as much, physically your stomach will shrink because it's just used to what you're putting in it. So it'll take time to expand to get your hunger back up again. You could do like a digestive enzyme support. Betaine HCL is something that I would use with patients. There's a specific protocol to help with that. And it actually will increase your appetite where you might be going back to Big Ben and being like, hey, I need more food. I'm starving now. But when you have more food in the tank, I like to say in the tank, that means Vince, if you are more stressed out, guess what? You have these extra calories, you have these extra vitamins and minerals already in your body, just waiting to be used. So your body is not in a deficit. It's got the storage on. As long as you're eating good quality stuff, it's not going to be storage as fat. It's going to be like muscle glycogen, or you'll find other areas where your body will have more stuff available to be able to burn.
Mm. That's great. So it is wise to, you know, slowly bring calories up to bring energy output up. That's what's going to probably make you look and feel the best.
Mm-hmm. It's going to keep you feeling nice and full. It's going to make you nice and lean. And the more muscle mass you have on, the more fat you're going to burn as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great. Fasting is such a popular thing and I like it. I see the value in it too, but I think people might take it to an extreme where I hear people eating two meals a day and I'm like, how do you function? Like maybe for periods of time, but I feel like people might be overusing it, not utilizing it maybe using it for every scenario when it's better for some and not all.
I would agree with that. And that just comes with using some logic. A lot of people, I think, lost that ability to use logical thought. But we'll just talk about iron, for example, right? Like even if you're eating a lot of food, but you're vegetarian or you're vegan and you're not supplementing in iron or eating specific things to get your iron levels up, you can be eating 100 meals a day and you're going to be deficient in iron. You're deficient in iron, the rest of the body is going to shut down. So if you're only eating two meals a day, even if you're doing red meat in both meals that you're just trying to get your standard iron in, heme iron, you're still typically going to be deficient in nutrients. Your body's going to be functioning under 100%. And long-term functioning under 100%, you're going to feel the symptoms of that. Just again, like anybody going fully plant-based, they'll feel great at first. And then after a couple months, a year or so, their skin will start changing colors. They'll start feeling lethargic. And I'm like, what's going on in my body? Well, if you didn't do it right, your body is starving for these nutrients that you have to put in to your diet again.
Wow. Let's come back to testosterone a bit. So optimizing testosterone for, you know, men over 35, 40, I bet you're seeing it for guys even younger these days. Mm-hmm. How do we keep those levels optimal, sky high?
Yeah. So obviously training. So making sure you're getting in the gym, lifting weights. It's a very simple, very easy way to be able to increase your testosterone naturally. And then there's different food sources as well. There's different supplements you could throw in there too. Zinc is another one. Again, I talked about magnesium as being big. Also with optimization, making sure we don't run away from our healthy fats. I think that's really important to just take a second to talk about. Fats, when we consume our fats, we're consuming our cholesterol. All of our steroid hormones have a fat back to them. They have a cholesterol back to them. So if we deprive our bodies of healthy fats, we are then going to be depriving our bodies of the very building blocks we need to create testosterone. It's going to be really big. Other things is watching sugar consumption and the alcohol consumption, and watching stress. That's like the big three. That will, even if you're supplementing in with HRT, you're still going to be just throwing all that testosterone into your estrogen, and you're going to be losing any that you have. So those would be some of the easiest things, in my opinion, to be able to get the testosterone levels up.
Yeah, that's really good. And then what about like me? I'm a big meat eater, like carnivore diet. Like, can you take that to an extreme, or is that very specific protocol for a specific type of person? I love meat. We eat a lot of it in the house, but then you're concerned, do I need all the saturated fat? Like, which, using logic again, like, or we have to get tested. I find there's so much information out there. Everybody's got some studies to show, like, so how do you navigate this for somebody who is trying to figure out what's optimal for me, specifically staying on the top of optimizing testosterone, volume of meat, quality of meat. I know that's super crucial. Signs to listen to, like if maybe you're eating too much or maybe you're not eating enough.
Yeah. So you brought up testing too, which is, it always helps. Going back to the stomach acid, if you're going carnivore diet and you don't have a stomach to break it down, it's going to be harder on you. Just if you did a raw food diet, if you don't have stomach acid, it's going to be more difficult for you. The other thing, there's actually, I think I have the book. Yeah, I actually have the book, Nutrition and the Autonomic Nervous System. It's a cancer book. And so different diets can be used for different cancers. So if you have a solid tumor cancer, like prostate, breast, something of that nature, they tell you to try to stay away from the more meaty type foods because it can actually increase your sympathetic nervous system. So that would be one where I'd say maybe hedge your bets, cut that down a little bit. But testing really tells you, if you run like a full, like what I call a cardiometabolic panel, you'll see what's going on, not just with like your cholesterol and your triglycerides, but looking at the little numbers, the little like LPAs and things like that, that are like the smaller building blocks of cholesterol and what can actually cause a damage. Homocysteine is another one. C-reactive protein is another one that you'd want to take a look at. And if you start with your baseline and after 3 months you run that test again and your numbers are awful, then that diet probably isn't the best fit for you. Plus you probably wouldn't be feeling the best as well. As a whole, though, I tell my patients, it's the diet that I start them off on is like a paleo autoimmune diet, getting more healthy proteins in, healthy red meats, grass-fed, grass-finished, so that you're getting a good balance between omega-3s and 6s. It's really crucial. Otherwise, the overconsumption of processed meat is what's ultimately going to be showing all of the negative studies that you'll find on PubMed out there about how red meat is killing everyone. It's not standard. It's not good red meat. It's the standardly processed red meat.
That's so important to know. Yeah, not all meat's created equal. And yeah, exactly. If you're getting the steroid pumped commercial meat, yeah, exactly. You're going to have some issues, but you can taste the difference too. I remember when I was eating high quality meat, like you felt fuller, like in the gym, you had some extra vitamins, minerals, electrolytes, there's something filling you up.
Yeah. You'll get some of the like the naturally occurring creatine and things like that in the red meats. And so the grass-fed, grass-finished being that balanced ratio, it can actually be seen as anti-inflammatory, which blows a lot of people's minds, but it's good. It was designed for us to be able to consume. It's nourishing for our bodies.
Jacques, so I got to ask you a question. I'm always sensitive about my caffeine intake.
Yeah.
I feel like I rely on too much caffeine. I'd love to hear just your insights on like how to manage or how to use caffeine wisely, maybe not how to abuse it. Like, I like coffee. I also created a pre-workout that's got a pretty heavy dose of caffeine, but it's also got a lot of other ingredients to enhance brain function. I personally perform like it's day and night difference, but I also know it's probably a little too much on the days I don't take it. There's my wife is, oh, you didn't take your preload this morning, did you? So I do take 1 or 2 days off every week. So when I come back, I've tried to taper it down, but just love to just hear like, how would you utilize caffeine in a way that, you know, helps you, not hurts you? And I think that's a big one. I know a lot of guys will put back a couple coffees a day. And yeah, you have to ask yourself, if you need that many coffees a day, what's not working in your body?
Exactly. Yeah. So just like we talked about meat not being created equally, coffee beans also aren't created equally as well. So if you drink a cup of coffee and you're tired immediately after, check the beans. Are they organic? If they're not organic, you can be getting a cup of pesticide. And there's a lot of mycotoxins or mold toxins that you'll get in from your coffee as well. So you're taking a sip of that and you're poisoning yourself, which is going to make our bodies function less optimally. If it's still organic and it's all the best of the best, and you still crash after coffee, after one cup, and you need more, then we're going to look into the adrenals and say, what did you do to your adrenals that are making them not function this well or that well? In terms of overall consumption, there are a lot of natural health benefits to caffeine. It's a nootropic, so it does help with brain function. That's why we're seeing green coffee bean extract as like caffeine and different pre-workouts, et cetera. Because there is a lot of good stuff found in coffee, but there's a crossover too. And like with pre-workouts, I know that if you take too much caffeine, it'll actually become vasoconstricting. And so your brain function will take a dip, or you'll just be all over the place. You'll just be so scatterbrained. You can't think what your next thought is going to be because you're still thinking 10 thoughts ago. So how to do it? If you need a cup of coffee in the morning, I'm not saying don't have a cup of coffee in the morning, but if you need to consistently consume, what can we do to build up your body to not be reliant on that coffee? So we can give different like vitamin B, like your B vitamins help tremendously with adrenal health and also help to boost you up so that if you're taking in too much caffeine, you're not going to be left plummeting afterwards. Magnesium is another one that I'll mention. It's great for supplementation for the adrenals to keep them firing at 100%. So there's a crossover where you take too much. If there's a noticeable difference with you, Vince, again, figuring out what that thorn in your side is, it's not allowing you to produce energy. I find a lot of times when I fix people's guts, especially stomach acid too, energy goes through the roof and they don't know what to do with themselves during the day. And I'm talking even like 75, 76 year old women. And I just talked to one this morning that said she was outside mowing a lawn. She goes, I haven't been able to do that in 10 years. You've got the energy and you can do it now.
With stomach, when you say a supplement with the stomach acid, is that with HCL?
So HCL, and there's a bacteria that I find a lot with chronic fatigue and even Hashimoto's, Helicobacter pylori or H. pylori, is one that's found in a lot of stomach cases, and it'll actually suppress stomach acid concentration too. So
what do you supplement with, like, how do you count with, do you supplement with HCL?
So if you supplement with HCL and you feel like an immediate burn and this does not feel right, you probably have H. pylori in there because H. pylori is found in 80% of stomach ulceration cases. So if you put the HCL in, it's like fire on an open wound, it's going to burn. So that would be like a not a fun test, but a way that you can see, is my body capable of handling that? If you need just a little pick me up, apple cider vinegar can also help as like a shot before you eat to get the digestive juices going. But the Helicobacter pylori, there's a whole different protocol to remove that out.
So yeah, apple cider vinegar, that's good. Does that help manage insulin as well? Or is that better for, what's that exact? I've got that on my meal plan. I forget why I'm taking it though.
Probably for digestion. There's like, I remember back in chiropractic school, I would do apple cider vinegar, a little bit of cayenne, and I think lemon juice. And it was like a metabolism booster. So it does help with insulin. It does help with burning excess fat as well.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Little hacks there. I love it. You're a busy dad, you're a businessman. I'd just love to hear, maybe wrap us up with just the day in the life. How do you structure your day for, you know, maximum productivity, achievement, success, et cetera?
Yeah. So this was something that took me the hard way to learn. I told you the first year that my son was born, I sacrificed the gym. I never went. I maybe went 3 times in a year. And I'm talking, this is a guy that would go 5-6 times a week, sometimes even more if I did doubles, and I lost that. And so you have to be able to schedule the time for yourself, because with health, with anything in life, you have to have a strong why. Yes, your why is I want to be healthy, but you're also setting an example for your kids. And if your kid's seeing you being lazy and not going to the gym, not being productive, they're going to mimic those behaviors as they grow up. So a day in the life of me, I get up, I am woken up at about 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning by my son. He comes out, we play, I'll cook him breakfast. I'll eat breakfast. We'll hang out, build Legos, do a little bit of family time. And then he'll go off to school at 8 o'clock in the morning. From 8 to 9, I'm prepping for my day, going over what all my consults are going to look like. Then from 9 to 1 o'clock, I'm in work mode. I'm in my office. I'm getting things done, taking calls, et cetera. 1 o'clock, I'll go and I'll pick up my son. I'll bring him to the gym with me if he wants to go with me. But 1 o'clock is my gym time typically. So I'll go, he knows I'm going to the gym. I get there for about an hour and a half. Then if I have any errands to run, I do it right after that time, come home. And then I'm either in dad mode. It's like variable mode. I'm either in dad mode or I have more calls I need to get scheduled. And then I'll be able to be 100% present for the rest of the night. And then my phone's off. I don't take any calls, usually past like 5:30, 6 o'clock, because I want to help with dinner, play with the kids, and be able to get my family time in as well.
Yeah, you got an amazing Instagram account. We'll let you share it in a second. But I know that you do have some good, strong rules around technology and that. And yeah, just maybe I got to pick your brain on that one. Yeah, how do you manage the news these days? There's a lot of this divisiveness and confusion and just a lot of stuff that can take you down a rabbit hole. How do you manage your technology?
Technology usage?
Yeah.
Man, I hate it. So how do I manage it? I see it for what it is. I'm constantly being sold. I don't like always being sold. So anytime I go on Instagram, social media, I don't even really think I tune in on Facebook anymore unless it's to like share a picture. But I forget who it was that told me this, but if you're scrolling through Instagram and you're mindlessly scrolling through Instagram and after you're done, you gained nothing from what you just did, then it was a waste of time.
Yeah.
And when you're on Instagram, and I think it's still like this, I can pull this up here real quick. Okay, it's better now. So Instagram and then some like apps and stuff will actually cancel out your clock. So you don't even know what time it is. It just sucks you into whatever you're doing.
That's why they call it a feed, right?
Yeah, it's a feed. Yeah, you're constantly feeding yourself. Yeah. And it's so the way that I manage it is I'll go online for a purpose, whether it's to answer a DM or something, or if I need to share content or just go through and like some of my buddy's stuff just to help to support. And then after that, I'm off. I don't have the time for it. I don't have the patience for it. I'm an empath. So if I'm seeing a bunch of negative stuff or things that are going to make me angry, I'm very quick to analyze my body's homeostasis. If I start getting enraged, this thing just disappears and I'm like, I'm done for the night.
But
building it into a rule. So like I have do not disturb. That goes on, I think, 8 o'clock at night. Bring it back sooner, but it goes on the charger as soon as I'm done with it. And then it's out of sight, out of mind. So if you schedule a time at night or a time during the day that your phone is gone, really anything can wait till the next day. It's not life-threatening. You're not going to miss anything. So just get it done the next morning. If it's in the evening, you can't get anything done that's going to impact the next day anyway. So just get off of it and move on with your life and enjoy family time.
I love it, man. You got your priorities straight. It's encouraging to hear. You aren't missing out. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Our pastor said something funny the other day. When you're on social media, when you're scrolling, It's like eating a bag of chips. It feels really good in the moment. Like you get the dopamine, those quick hits. But then afterwards, you feel like crap.
Yeah. It's like a food hangover, like a social media hangover. It's bad. It really is.
Yeah. Who knows what you're looking at. Emotions can go all over the place. Hey, Jacques, share with our listeners where people can tune into your work. And if they're looking for somebody like yourself, maybe even just share a second or two on what you do best, who you work with most effectively in case somebody needs additional support with what they've heard today.
Yeah. So I've always been the underdog throughout life, and I found that in practice as well. So I'll end up getting, and I hope to get better, people who are trying to be more proactive, but I'll get people who are told that there's nothing else that they can do. They're not sure. They've been to doctors, have no idea what's going on. Nobody can find answers. And then we find the answers. So I specialize in like mold toxicity, which pulls in a lot of that. Nobody knows what's going on. It's typically mold. I work with a lot of infertility cases. Created something called a fertility triad. I'm actually going to be rolling out a webinar with that here soon. I'm just finishing it up. And then gut health. And in doing that, I do have an impact with infertility, with the hormones, hormonal optimization. So if you've been anywhere, everywhere, and you can't find an answer, you're more than welcome to reach out to me, docjacque.com, docjacque.com, or doc_jacque on Instagram. I'm really good at responding back in my DMs currently. So even though I don't like social media, I get in, get out, and I'm good to go.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's how you and I connected, through a mutual friend. And you were quick to respond, and we got you on here. So, dude, this was super helpful, man. I'm on a journey too to just find my motivation again, to not just get fit in stages or phases, but to stay consistently lean for the family and for everybody who looks up to me as well. I think everybody listening right now has people that rely on them. I trust that everything you shared today was super helpful, super practical, and also reassuring that if you're struggling with some of these challenges, that there are solutions out there for you and great guys like Jacques who can help you. So this is your opportunity now to pay this episode forward to somebody out there. Tag Jacques, tag me, share on your social stories, and I'm sure we'll share it back so that more people discover this episode and optimize their health and become their best self. We'll talk to you guys all soon. Ciao, ciao.
And that's it for this episode. If you want to hang out with more serious online fitness coaches who are starting, growing, or scaling profitable online fitness businesses, then you're going to want to head on over to vincedelmonte.ca/group, where I do a free weekly training on the smartest and easiest way to build a high-ticket fitness empire in less time. This is my free Facebook group, and this is where all the deep dive, amazing, instantly implementable advice gets dropped that you're not going to want to miss. And thank you for listening to the Vince Del Monte podcast. And if you're getting value from this show, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review over on iTunes. And if you'd like to get yourself 3 free samples of the world's only all-day energy pre-workout preload, leave a review on iTunes, screenshot it, and send it to my Blue Verified account on Instagram. All you got to do is go to @VinceDelMonte, send it on over. We'll get your address and we'll ship 3 free samples to your front door to give you all day energy, just as a little token of my appreciation for supporting the show and getting the word out there. We'll see you next time.